Sometimes it's easy to ask yourself why, when the hurt that you feel cuts so deep inside, and it seems like you've lost your reason for life. Oh, but hear my words, take my advice, don't give up, you're not walking alone. There is one who's beside you, he's been there all along, and he knows every tear that you've cried, and he has the answers to why. Only God knows how your broken heart fits in his master plan. Just when you think your world is falling apart, you'll find he's holding your world in his hands. Why must the sparrow fall to the ground? I don't know, but I know God sees. It's beyond my mind. Only God knows why. And that's good enough for me. Why must I watch someone that I love so wither and die before growing old? Why must a mother lose her pride and joy, and a daddy say goodbye to his little boy? I don't know, I only know that it's so. And we're not to question God with things we're not meant to know, for my trust is fully in him alone. And I know that God is still on his throne. Only God knows how your broken heart fits in his master plan. Just when you think your world is falling apart, you'll find he's holding your world in his hands. Why must the sparrow fall to the ground? I don't know, but I know God sees. It's beyond my mind. Only God knows why. And that's good enough for me.
Amen. I would preach to the wall, but I'd rather preach to people.
Amen.
Years ago, I had a radio program, and in that radio program, I would go down to the station, and they'd put me in a little old booth about the size of a telephone booth, and I would preach. And boy, you talk about hard. I mean, here you are just looking at this little booth and nobody around except the control man over in another room, and he's sitting there reading a magazine. And I was preaching. Didn't take me about half of the program to get wound up, you know. And then directly I'm getting pretty good with his telephone booth, and I've noticed the guy over there, and he's going. Well, you could preach if you wanted to, but there wasn't nobody listening. From the time he went cut, it's over. Oh, I was so glad when we changed from that and got to put in real church services where I could preach to real people.
Amen.
And I'm glad you're here because I wanted to preach to you.
Amen.
Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I want to preach on this subject. I wouldn't have done that. Had it been me, I wouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell God that?
Yeah.
I have.
Yes, sir.
What'd you do it that way for? I wouldn't have done it that way.
Amen.
Little old peon of a man gonna tell God that he made a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, let's look. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Verse 34, for a text, who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Can you imagine the Lord of glory going into a psychiatrist's office and saying to him, I'm here for some counsel. Things have just got so bad in the glory land, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm about ready to have a nervous breakdown. My children won't even go to church.
Amen.
My country's going to hell.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Who could counsel God? I wouldn't have done it that way. I've told him that. I'll give you three things that I wouldn't have done that way. But then again, you ought to be thankful. You ought to bow your head and thank you, God, that Randy Wilson is not God.
Amen.
Some of you turkeys be in bad shape if I were.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray. And Lord, we acknowledge that you're God and we're not. Now, Father, you're in heaven and we're on the earth. Lord, we walk around on your footstool. And we understand, Father, that you know the end from the beginning. You know everything that's going to come to pass. And Lord, you work everything after the counsel of your will. And I pray, God, that you'd help us just to be submissive and obedient and willing to do the will of God. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The wisdom and the knowledge of God, the Bible said, there is past finding out. God is totally, completely perfect. Absolutely righteous in everything that he does. He knows everything about everything.
Amen.
Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God?
Amen.
Did it ever cross your mind that God didn't have to sit down somewhere and try to figure out how this thing was going to come out? This book teaches he knows the end from the beginning. We see one day at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he sees the whole parade.
Amen.
We're like the fellow talked about sitting on the back side of a fence looking through a knot hole and watching the parade come by.
Yeah.
And he said, you see that guy come there with the orange suit on, or the one with the purple suit or the yellow suit? The little boy sitting up on top of the parade said, I saw them, all of them.
Yeah.
I saw them before they ever got to your knot hole.
Yeah.
I know what they look like when they come in sight, and I know what they look like when they went out of sight.
Yeah.
God, that's a poor illustration, but God sees the front, the back, the middle, the top, the bottom, both sides, past, present, and future, and he knows eternity and got the whole world in his hands. God knows it all. That's why he's God. Or that's why we call him God. We cannot comprehend, and yet we want to tell him what to do.
Amen.
I've tried to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
I said, look here, God, if you know what's good for you, you'll do what I'm asking you to do. I read the story about a bug on the ceiling of one of the chapels. Is there a Pristine Chapel or Sistine Chapel? But anyway, this bug, he come up here to a big old knot, and he said, I can't get over that mountain. What I'd like is to have that mountain removed. And he didn't realize that he was trying to knock the nose off of Michelangelo or somebody. He didn't realize that what looked like a mountain to him in the small picture was in the big picture. It was an important part of that ceiling. And I think that we look like that in our small picture. And we're wanting to knock something off that God has put there in the big picture that'll be for our good and his glory. We could cut off somebody's nose because We don't know the bigger work. We're only looking at the little work. There's four ways of finding out the will of God. There's two aspects of the will of God. And I think I'll just go through all six of them here in the next few minutes. Then we'll talk about three things that I wouldn't have done that way. Let me say, number one, that God reveals Himself through nature. Whenever you go out and look up at the heavens declare the glory of God. Whenever you look at the sun and the moon and the stars and their arrangement and their punctuality, our scientists, our weather people can tell us that the sun is coming up tomorrow at a certain time because when God set it in the clouds, He put it there to be on time. It is true that one can view nature and take in the majesty of God. If we look out, say if we had an occasion to go to Arizona and look over at the Grand Canyon, we can see what God can do with His fingers as He digs out the ditches in the Arizona desert. If we were to go to Niagara Falls, New York, and watch that, a white water cascading over the top and falling on the rocks below, we could see the handiwork of God. If you ever went down the New River or the Gauley River in one of those canoes or whatever, what is those things, rafts that they go white water riding, it's easy to see the work of God involved. Or perhaps you're more into sitting there on Summersville Lake with your feet reared up and sipping on one of them little old drinks with an umbrella on it or whatever, and you're thinking, well, this is the way that I can worship God. If that's how you get a God, if the only God you get is the God you get sitting on the riverbank, you miss three quarters of God's revelation for you. You're a quarter of a Christian. You're not even half a Christian. People says, well, I can be saved without going to church. I can be a Christian without going to church. You can't, but you can't be a good Christian. You can only be a quarter Christian. You're only hitting on one cylinder out of four-cylinder car that you're running there. I can worship God on the river. God has not chose to reveal Himself the most important parts on the river. His most important part is revealed in the book. Amen. God has revealed the most important things in His book. The Bible is the record of God's dealings with man. There we learn that God loved us. You can't learn that in nature. You would think God hated us. You would think the animals that devour one another were cruel to one another. And you would certainly think that the way men treat one another, that God does not love us. But in this book, thank God, He revealed to us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We learn that the love of God for fallen man produced a Savior that was born in Bethlehem's town. Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that the sons of men could become the sons of God. You can't find that out any place but from this old book called the Bible. That's where I read about the great need for the atonement. That's where I read about the multiplied numbers of bulls and goats that could have never ever paid the ransom for my soul. There I heard the Christmas angel proclaim, glad tidings unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior which is Christ the Lord. It instructs us how to become or behave ourselves in the church of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm saying God reveals Himself through nature, but God gets a better revelation through His book. Have you read it today? Do you read it at all? Have you read it this week? I think you should read it every day. Amen. I think you eat every day. And I think that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Number three, God, not man, is in the business of building a church. God calls men and enables them and puts them in the ministry and makes pastors and teachers out of them. And He didn't do that so you could forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You see, at church, God has another revelation for you. That's why He works me during the week to study and prepare a sermon so that I can deliver it to you. But Thomas gets the idea, not Logan, but Thomas gets the idea that he doesn't have to come to church, and so he misses church, and when he misses church, he misses the Lord, and the disciples said, "You should have been here last Sunday, you missed it all." Jesus showed up.
Amen.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I've never prepared a sermon and aimed it at anybody, but I have noticed that some of them fit people. And when I notice that, mark this out, they can be my most faithful member. But if it fits them, mark it out, they will not be there that Sunday. That's the way it works. Thomas, he missed it. When the armies of the world gathered for the battle of Armageddon, that great day of God Almighty, in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, there's a warning that God set down in His book. Said, "Behold, He comes as a thief. If you're unprepared, you'll miss. You'll not be prepared for His coming." Whenever you go to church, you're actually in the act as a Christian. You're actually getting prepared for His coming. He's coming again. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You're actually taught how to keep your clothes clean by people that have washed their own.
Amen.
And they tell you how they got theirs clean.
Yeah.
And they can tell you how to get yours clean.
Amen.
I like that. I mean, you know, I'm not a real laundromat person. My wife says, no. You do not put bleach on black socks. You get little spots. You get little, if you're lucky, you get little spots. Sometimes you get white socks or I don't know, some kind of puke green or something. I don't know exactly what they are. But somebody that knows about laundry knows how to get clothes clean. What detergent is used? And let me say to you, as one of God's preachers, I know how to get yourself clean. Brother, you wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb, and it'll wash away every stain of your sin and make you every whit whole. It'll make you Revelation 7:14. Now Ephesians chapter 4 tells us the work of the ministry is learned by listening to the preacher. We've got too much freelance Christianity.
Amen.
Too many people want to listen to the television preacher and the radio preacher and the shortwave preacher and every other kind of preacher. But what you need to do is park yourself in that local independent Bible believing church and listen to God's man as he preaches the Word of God to you. That'll help you in every Sunday's life. God actually placed gifted people in the church for the purpose of perfecting the saints. Ephesians 4. As a ministry for God, they are to edify and build up the church, the body of Christ. Of course, it's hard to build you up if you're not here.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, a carpenter. He'd say it sure would look good if we had a 2x6 right there, but we don't got no 2x6. Now, what kind of a carpenter is that? The whole house has got to wait till we get a 2x6. Am I telling it right? Sometimes the whole church is waiting on you. You say, well, can you give me an... Yeah, I can give you an example. There was a guy in the Bible named Achan. He was just one man. He put a sprag in the spokes of the whole outfit because he was more interested in Achan than he was God. He went in there and he saw that little old pair of breeches, and I don't know what it was, probably hung down to his knees. You know what I mean? Probably when walking out there tooling around, he saw that little old jewelry and that little old wedge of gold. And he sold out the whole nation. That one man held up the whole thing. And I think it's very possible that we might be holding up God because we just refuse to get in the will of God.
Amen.
And I notice this. Most people that are that way are not concerned about getting in the will of God. You take somebody that bumps the altar all the time, or somebody that's all the time trying to get in the will of God and saying, "Preacher, pray for me. I want to." Most of the time, you don't have problems out then. The one you have problems with is that dude sits back there on his knees and just, "Hey, man, I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. I already know about it."
Amen.
till we can get together in unity of the faith, measured by a full-grown stature of a Christ-like Christian. That's what we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Christ-like Christians. Yeah. Number four. I don't know what number four was for. Do y'all remember? But in number four, God Himself has shown Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad for the Comforter that has come. The church would be helpless without the Comforter. The church would be helpless. Preaching would be useless if the Spirit of God did not apply the preached word to people's heart. Amen. I'm glad for the Comforter. Have you ever faced the graveyard? Whenever we have to face the death of a loved one, it's good to have a Comforter down in your soul. It's good to have one that'll whisper sweet peace whenever the world is falling apart.
Amen.
Let me talk about Robert E. Lee for just a minute. On the death of his child, he said this, "I submit myself to the will of my God. He is too good to do wrong and too wise to make a mistake.
Amen.
If he wants to take my boy, he has every right." I mean, that's a guy that's been in touch with the Comforter.
Amen.
That's a guy that the Holy Ghost of God, heavenly advocate, straightens out our crooked prayers.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. As an earthly advocate, he helps us before men. I work at preparing a sermon, and you know I do. I work at it every week. I don't know when I repeated a sermon to this congregation. I work at it every week to try to get you some fresh leaves from the tree of life. But preparing a sermon, and it's a tremendous amount of work, but it'll go down the tubes unless the Spirit of God helps me to preach this book. It's a useless cause for us to try to do anything for God unless the Holy Ghost of God shows up on the scene. And brother, when He shows up, you know He's arrived. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. It's not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost that speaks. He touches people's hearts. He's part of that. The Holy Spirit is a toucher of men's hearts, and He protects us from false doctrines.
Amen.
The Antichrist theologies enables the sincere believer to survive public education.
Amen.
I was educated in Kanawha County schools. Oh, mercy. What we need to realize I'm able to survive that education because I had a mama that prayed for me and taught me about the Bible. Liberal seminary. Send the guy off to college and he comes back and he no longer believes the Bible. He got some kind of a doctrine that populates hell with apostate Christians rather than real Christians. And then you got a bunch of apostate pastors and teachers around in this valley.
Amen.
One guy said he had 12,000 preachers that said they believed in evolution. I told him, I said, you ain't got one preacher.
Right.
You might have 12,000 false prophets.
Yeah.
But you ain't got one preacher that believes in evolution.
Amen.
Holy Spirit sanctifies the believer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God has placed His hand on the believer, and therefore we need to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on to perfection, go on to maturity. Filled with the Spirit, He controls your behavior on particular occasions. Whenever you're filled with the Spirit, the reason you're filled with the Spirit is for service. And He controls your behavior on particular occasions. Now, you've got to be discerning about this, children. I mean, you know, you wouldn't believe what comes in a preacher's mind while he's preaching. If I said everything that comes through my mind, y'all would vote me out. Am I telling right, preachers?
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit of God, whenever He's in control, He'll block the things that don't need said, and He'll cause people to hear things that you didn't even say.
Amen.
Filled with the Spirit, He controls your behavior. Then secondly, there's two things about the will of God. Number one, there is a direct will of God. That means a will of God that He approves of. And then there is a permissive will of God that simply means that He allows it, doesn't necessarily approve of it. Now, many things that God allows that He doesn't approve of. I think that He allows Obama to be president, but doesn't approve of it. And don't write me no letters. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not angry at the man because he's black. I'm angry at the man because he's pro-abortion. I'm angry at the man because of his stand on cell research. I'm angry with the man because of his friendliness to the sodomite world. I'm angry with the man because of his education standards. I'm angry with the man because of his free speech. And of all the folks that were running for president, Alan Keyes, another black man, would have been far better than this guy we've got. Remember, I'm saying, I wouldn't have done it that way. He wouldn't have got near the White House. He couldn't have got close enough to smell the roses, let alone the watermelons. But I'm telling you this, listen to me carefully. I'm telling you this, God allowed it. And God's got a purpose in it. And I pray that that purpose is that we wake up to our nation's need today. Well, many things that God allows, He doesn't approve of. Another thing that I believe, I wouldn't have done it this way. I wouldn't have put Adam in that garden and set him down there by that tree, knowing the thousands of years of destruction and ultimately the life of His only begotten Son would be the direct result of putting Adam in that garden. I wouldn't have done it that way. Am I smarter than God? Absolutely not. But then He didn't ask me. I'll give you an example. Elijah was fresh from victory on Mount Carmel. He's threatened and he's scared by Nancy Pelosi. I mean by Jezebel of that day. She said, "Tomorrow I'll have your head. You may got rid of my prophets today, but tomorrow I'll have your head." Scared him to death. Perhaps he remembered Naboth. Perhaps he remembered that this lady wasn't threatening, this lady was promising. Remember the lies and the arrest and that kangaroo court that they put him through. Make no mistake, Jezebel meant it when she said, "I'll have your head." So Elijah, he takes off. Like a good Baptist, he runs from trouble. I mean, just as hard as he can go. Finally, he arrives on Mount Horeb. I want you to listen carefully. I'm still preaching on where. How would you do it? I wouldn't have done it the way God done it. And Elijah wouldn't either. But there in that cave, look at verse 2, Romans chapter 11, verse 2. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against. You see that?
Yeah.
Now you remember when Moses made intercession, it was for God's people. But here's Elijah saying, "Hey, these people aren't worth saving.
Yeah.
I mean, they've tore down your altars, they've killed your prophets, and they've threatened me, and I'm the only one left. Poor old me."
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like that?
Amen.
Dug down your altars, and God showed the prophets some things. I don't know where I got these in order or not. I'm just thinking them in my mind. God showed him an earthquake. And Elijah said, "That's what I need. I need to go back down there in front of Jezebel. And I need to do like Moses did with Dathan and Abiram and him. And cause the earth just to open up and swallow them turkeys up. That'll fix Israel. That's what they need." Amen. I'd like to do that down in Charleston. Then he had a wind that blew by. And Elijah said, "I remember whenever that wind of God blew And the Red Sea departed and made a way for us to escape. And I remember when Israel went through there, and when we was hungry, He caused that east wind to blow and bring those quails in. And whenever He plagued Egypt, He called the wind to blow and called the locusts to come on the land. That's what I need. I need some control of the wind. If I just had it, I'd huff and I'd puff and I'd blow their house down. On the banks of the sea, they sang Exodus chapter 15, end of verse 10. And the Lord blew with His mighty wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the water.
Yeah.
Then a fire. Here's an idea. I remember whenever Sodom and Gomorrah, they got all fixed up.
Yeah.
And the Lord rained fire and brimstone on them, burnt that place up.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that happen to San Francisco.
Amen.
I'm not sure it's going to. It might.
Yeah.
I was watching one of their scientific channels the other night. Said it's about ready to fall in the ocean. I just wept.
Yeah.
Listen to me, children. I wouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah.
And Elijah wouldn't have done it that way. But God said, we're not going to use an earthquake. We're not going to use the fire. We're not going to use the wind. But there was a still, small voice.
Yeah.
Said, I got something for you to do, Elijah.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, you quit worrying about what they're doing.
Yeah.
I got something for you to do.
Amen.
You see, you go off half-cocked, you'll pull up the wheat with the tares. I've got 7,000 in this mess somewhere that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Many things God allows that He doesn't approve. Nothing that doesn't work for your good, Elijah. So you get about anointing the prophets. You get about doing what you're supposed to do and let the running of Israel be left to me. Oh man, that hurts, don't it? Because we want to run it ourselves. And we want to do just exactly what Elijah wanted to do. And I do too. And how many times have we ever said, Lord, just let me live in the Old Testament for a minute and I'll take care of these people.
Yeah.
God is in everything. And God is working His supreme will. And it's no accident that America is at war with Christianity.
Amen.
There's no accident there. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible said that the purification of the saint is the direct result of the trials and afflictions that they go through.
Amen.
The wicked have no understanding. Amen. I think down at the state house, I think at our capital, I think at the nation's capital, you've got a bunch of educated dummies.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
You say, well, I wouldn't have said that. I know. That's why I'm up here and you're back there.
Because
I will say, I think professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I think they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God to where they're worshiping men and what men will do, and we're in danger tonight. Someone asked a preacher one time, is there any place where God is not? I found this in Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. God is not in the thoughts of the wicked. Hey, whenever they make their plans, amen, like Belshazzar, they had no plans that included God. They had no plan. Am I telling it right? Amen. Down there in the public school, when they're making their lesson plan for tomorrow, have they got plans that include God? Over there in the state house, have they got plans that include God? Hey, I'm asking a question, man. We're going down the tubes unless we get a hold of this thing. All right, there's two things that I wouldn't have done that way. But now listen carefully. Here's something else I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have allowed my only begotten son
Amen.
To suffer and bleed and die for people like Randy Wilson,
Amen.
Philip Sparks,
Amen.
Ronnie Hoy, Bobby Deere, Randy. I wouldn't have done it.
Amen.
As I look at that, I'm thinking, man, there's got to be some other way. But you know, I remember on Olive's brow, whenever at the Garden of Gethsemane, God's only begotten Son looked up to heaven and He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me.
Amen.
But you know what? There was no other way. For you to be saved, Jesus must die on that cross.
Amen.
God's Son must shed His blood to pay the penalty for my sin and yours. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When I get to heaven, and I'm going,
amen,
when I get there, and I walk up before the throne, I'll say, thou art worthy.
Amen.
I didn't have the right plan. You had the right plan. Thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. I'm glad you didn't do it my way. Amen. I think Frank Sinatra is probably in hell tonight doing it his way.
Amen.
But God's way is as high as the heavens is above the earth. God's way is above our way.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. We wouldn't do it the way God does it. Would you, how many of you shake your little peaked head and say, amen, preacher? I'd have done it another way because, you see, I'm looking through that peephole.
Yeah.
And God's looking at all of it. And in that big picture, amen, God's plan is the plan that'll work. Let's bow for prayer. I suppose the biggest mistake he ever made was Calvary. Wouldn't you think? Surely God in heaven wouldn't allow His only begotten Son to suffer and die in my place. But then again, you remember our scripture? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who's been His counselor? Who could tell God what He ought to and what He ought not to do? He's God, and we're not. I appreciate all these that have came to pray. I'm sure that in a crowd this size, I'm sure that we've got folks here that are still seated that need to be at this altar tonight. If you'd like to come, that still small voice of the Spirit of God that talks to your heart and says you need to come, if you'll obey that voice, you'll not be sorry. Jesus will save your soul. Jesus will save your life. Jesus is the dearest friend you've ever had. Just before I pray, I wonder, would you slip up your hand somewhere and say, preacher, pray for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you. Just slip it up and take it right back down. Thank you. Thank God for these hands. Say, thank you, sir. Preacher, I'd like you to pray for me. I believe that God would do something for me if I'd come. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, I thank you for the privilege to pray. Lord, I thank you for your blessings on my life. Oh, dear God, I pray that we could be a testimony to you, our Father, that we could be, Lord, able to preach the word. That word would be backed by the Spirit and the power of God. Father, you said that we'd receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Lord, we'd be witnesses unto you in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Our Father, here we stand in Kanawha County, West Virginia, 2009 years later. Father, help us. Help us to be a witness. People have lifted their hands and said, pray for me. Father, I pray for them the very best that I know how. God, would you help them in Jesus' name? Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
296.
Like to come tonight? Be a good time just to lay it down there on that altar. Say, God, I need your help. My plans aren't working. I want your plan in my life. Well, I suppose you made it through, huh? You didn't come to the altar.
Yeah.
Boy, we sure fooled them. Oh, children.
Amen. Bless you.
You do not understand.
Right.
If I was not saved, if there's any doubt about my salvation, son, I would not sit there or stand there.
Amen.
I would be right here.
Amen.
And I'd say, Lord, I'm going to stay here until I got this thing straight. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can't save yourself. Your life is not good enough. Mine's not good enough. No, but my mom was the sweetest Christian I ever knew. Hers wasn't good enough. The only thing that's good enough is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God I got it applied.
Yeah.
And when he put that blood on my soul, it washed my sins away.
Amen.
All right, I'm not in a hurry. I'll be around here for a while. If you would like to talk with me, you're certainly welcome to do that. Secondly, let me say, tomorrow night is school night. We're doing real well here.